Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This is...
That's so dumb!
Felger.
Oh, you idiot!
Ness.
Holy crap!
Felger and Ness.
I hate that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've never played against Tom Brady. I'm glad he's our quarterback. He's a great quarterback. And he's, you know, he's won a lot of games for us. Hopefully he'll win a lot more. And we've won a lot of games because of him. But I've never played against Tom Brady. It's a different context. I'd say playing against Aaron Rodgers is very, very difficult. He's as good as anybody that I've faced. We faced a lot of good ones through the years, and that's not to take anything away from anybody else. I'm just saying the guy's a great player. He can do everything that a quarterback needs to do. I mean, once again, he leads the league in touchdowns, interceptions. He leads the league in big plays. He's thrown, I don't know, however many long passes to however many different receivers. It's not all one guy, so he's a great player.
All right, Bill Belichick likes himself some Aaron Rodgers.
Can't say I blame him.
And here we go, Brady Rodgers. Ready for it, Maz? You excited for it?
You know what? The closer we get to it, the more I am, actually. I think it's pretty good.
And, you know, there's something, to me, different and better, frankly, about this than there is Patriots Chiefs and, you know, Brady Mahomes. As much as the Chiefs stood in there and Mahomes went in there, you know, in actuality, Mahomes gave you a good duel, and that was a good back and forth, and that was Brady Mahomes. That was good stuff. He's too new to really have that cachet of Brady Rodgers.
Yeah, we don't know yet with Mahomes, really.
It's good stuff. And I also think that Kansas City offense is it's Mahomes largely, but boy, they got a lot of explosiveness on that side of the ball, and it's more than just Mahomes. I think when you play the Packers, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, well, that Kansas City team, you start rattling off skill positions. My goodness. You know, between Hill, Watkins, Kelsey, Kareem Hunt, like, they're loaded. So, but Rodgers is, like, he's just a different, you know, it struck me too. He's 35 now.
Well, he's one of the last true contemporaries that's there with Brady. It's him, it's Breeze, and it's Roethlisberger, and that's it.
And Roethlisberger, we don't treat anymore. Right. We don't treat like Brady Roethlisberger. We don't get that same sort of juice. We would with Breeze, and obviously with Rodgers, but it's like, since Peyton Manning retired, this is sort of what you're left with. This is sort of it. And it's good. It's a good one.
Absolutely it is.
So we're going to talk a lot about that today, a lot of Patriots today. Is there an issue here with Rob Gronkowski that we got to discuss? We'll get to that. We'll do some baseball stuff later on the program, but I did want to start with this. And, something that's already bugging me. Have you seen the Michael Jordan commercial setting this game up?
Yes. I've heard it.
Okay. It's pretty good. I mean, it's good, but it also goes sideways up my keister. And I'll tell you why after we air it. I guess we can do the simulcast thing as well. I can just see it full on the simulcast because they've been running it in the spot breaks on our simulcast here. This is Michael Jordan, and it's for Brady Rodgers, but they don't reveal that immediately. At first, it's just sort of Michael Jordan sitting in a chair talking about generic greatest ever stuff, and they're trying to dupe you into him thinking or trying to dupe you into thinking that he's talking about him and LeBron. But here's the spot. It's good.
A lot of talk going on these days about who is the greatest ever, about who has the titles, the raw talent, the most clutch moments. I get it. It's a tough call. I mean, even the jersey numbers are the same. But maybe the best way to settle this debate is to play it out head to head.
What's not to like there?
I know what you're not going to like. Go ahead.
Well, the spot itself is great.
That's dynamite.
That's a great sort of hype-up spot to get you into the game and well-produced and well sort of played to suck you into Jordan. You got Jordan. You know, this is all like Belichick reading the open to the World Series. You got Jordan talking greatest ever with Rodgers, Brady, and like, no, like the actual mechanics of the thing is brilliant. It's tremendous. And I'm the biggest Green Bay honk you'll know. Aaron Rodgers does not belong in the same breath with Tom Brady any more than LeBron James belongs in the same breath with Michael Jordan.
I knew this was going to be your point.
But isn't it? But it's like this need and this thing to say, well, to find the best guy now and say, well, where does he compare with the best ever? And he's just like LeBron and he's as good as Tom Brady. Like, nah, you can't. I mean, and also, you know, LeBron's closer to Michael than Aaron Rodgers is to Tom Brady. He's, you know,
there's multiple titles there.
There's multiple titles. He's been to 7 straight finals, whatever. He's, you know, hands down the best player of his generation. Like, you know, I think it's stupid. I can't believe how many people want to put LeBron James on the same level of as Jordan. I think that's ridiculous. But at least he's got a resume that's approaching it. Aaron Rodgers has been to 1 Super Bowl.
So when I first heard it, and again, I heard it, I didn't see it. Okay, so when I first heard it, and I heard him start saying, you know, the championships, I'm thinking, what debate is there there? What?
There's no debate.
Okay, but then as he goes on and he says the jersey numbers, I'm like, oh, I get it. I get it. Because again, I took it as Jordan, from the, when I listened to the file, so again, I knew it was a promo, I sort of thought, okay, they got Jordan to talk about Rodgers and Brady, and then I recognized that they're playing off the LeBron thing.
Yes.
Like, it didn't register with me right away. So I give him a little latitude at the beginning. But Brady's got 5, Rodgers has got 1. Like, as I listened to it the first time, it struck me like, what debate? There is no debate.
There's no debate here.
But as they went on, I understand this creative and editorial license there.
I understand, too. And so I'm just playing off it.
Sure, but I'll tell you, like, it didn't even occur to me, like, ooh, I get it. Everyone thinks he's talking about LeBron. It's actually Brady and Rodgers. I kind of thought it was cool.
It's definitely cool. I just hope they're not serious. That's all. It was cool. Great spot. You know, we'll run it a couple times today because I think it's that good. It's like, it's awesome. But they're not serious, are they? Are you serious?
Well, I don't know how they could be.
No, I mean, look, in the grand scheme of things, no, it should be like Brady Montana, and that's it. That's a conversation you have. But for right now, I mean, people have the conversation of, you know, who's the best quarterback in the league, Rodgers or Brady. You know, that's what it's based on.
I also think they did a good job framing it. In other words, they said the titles and the ability.
Right.
Right, as if to say that most people would concede Rodgers has more ability than Brady. He does. He's a better athlete than Brady. He is.
But there's a lot of guys we can say that about.
Sure, yes. But he's also a little different because he's got a brain to go with it.
He's also tremendous at the line of scrimmage. So that's where you set it apart. So I mean, like, would you stop trying to put the best guy now into the best ever category? I mean, I like Connor McDavid. I'm not putting him next to Gretzky and Gordie Howe and, like, no. Wait, first of all. Accomplish something, first of all. And having watched Jordan's entire career and LeBron's entire career, I still don't get why people do this, but I think it's this insatiable sort of thing just to say, you know, where does he rank with the best ever and put him there. And Rodgers does not. I don't even think Rodgers, not only is Rodgers not the best of all time, he's not the best this century. I don't even think he's the second best this century. When I asked you before to rank your quarterbacks of this generation, Brady's 1, of course. I don't even have Rodgers number 2. I have Peyton Manning number 2.
Yeah, I think Manning's right.
Yeah, no, I'm putting Rodgers 2.
So you have Rodgers 2 ahead of Manning?
Yep.
And I
don't care about those padded stats from the regular season and 9-1 and duns. I hold that against Manning and will forever.
Okay, fair enough. But I think it's debatable. Maz, I think, has Aaron Rodgers 4th behind Roethlisberger.
I think I did, yeah, because, again, the winning to me matters. Yeah, it matters. All those other guys have won multiple titles. Say what you will about Roethlisberger, but he's won.
This is the debate. Where does Aaron Rodgers rank among Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, and Philip Rivers? That's the Aaron Rodgers debate. He doesn't belong in the conversation with Brady, Montana, and Elway and those guys. Not yet. No. And you're, you know, talking to a guy that is willing to pump Aaron Rodgers' tires. I just sort of hate that thing. All of a sudden, LeBron wins some titles, and is he the best ever? And all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers is really good. Is he the best ever? He's not. So all I'm saying is great spot. I hope they don't. I hope they're not serious. I hope you're not serious, or, you know, anyone who feels that way.
Well, look, there's this, and you touched on this, but there is this urge for people to say, whenever anybody wins anything, to say, where does he rank among the greats? It's like, and I think it's totally self-serving. It's so that people could say, I saw one of the greats. Like, it's asinine. Now, look, Rodgers' ability is off the charts, but at the end of the day, you know what determines the greatness? The winning. The winning. That's it. None of it matters if you don't win. If you don't win the championships, you know where you looked at? Someone who underachieved. That's what it is. And you mentioned Manning's record in the postseason, Murray. What is Rodgers' record in the postseason?
I know it's not very good either.
10-7.
Yeah.
I mean, 10-7. Like, and I was calling it up as I asked you. I didn't actually have that number in front of me when I asked you the question. I wasn't trying to say
I knew it was close to 500.
I mean, so he's, in a lot of ways, he's no different than Manning, other than Manning really gagged in some big moments, and this guy hasn't gagged that bad.
He hasn't. And so this is one thing that I want to defend. It's sort of off our conversation with Perillo yesterday, because he said it too. And there's this narrative with Rodgers in terms of fourth quarter comebacks, postseason wins, comeback wins, fourth quarter, come from behind wins. Like, they have all these stats, and he ranks way low in these categories. And I'll give you these rankings. They're really quite revealing, in fact. And this sort of goes to that second tier of the Rodgers-Brady debate, and that is, if you flip teams, if Rodgers was drafted into Belichick's program and Brady was drafted into McCarthy's program, would we be looking at Aaron Rodgers with 5 and Brady with 1?
Maybe, yeah.
So,
I mean, the coaching has mattered. There's no two ways about it.
And a lot of these postseason losses for Rodgers, I mean, I'll go through a couple of them for you just to give you some good examples. I mean, they really have nothing to do with them. Nothing. Zero. It's defense allowing, 80-yard drives in a minute. It's not recovering onside kicks. It's like a lot of this stuff where Brady's had the benefit of, well, I mean, just for an example, one of Brady's greatest clutch performances ever was against Seattle in that Super Bowl. If the coaching staff doesn't snuff out that pass and have Malcolm Butler there, he doesn't even get credit for a fourth quarter comeback.
Right. Or if Pete hands off the ball.
If Pete hands off the ball, but in this context, that you're talking about luck. I want to give the Patriots credit for having defended that play properly, having scouted that play. They knew the play was coming. Brady got that Super Bowl because of his brilliance and because Belichick and the coaching staff had a clue about that play and coached up their players and had the guy in the right spot. And so Brady gets the comeback, he gets the fourth quarter game-winning drive, and he gets a Super Bowl win. Where Aaron Rodgers has done things like that, and his team loses the coin flip in overtime, and the team gets the first possession, goes right down the field and scores, and he never touches the ball. And that's happened quite a bit to him.
Yeah, how many years was Dom Capers the defensive coordinator there? He had to deal with that.
So, this urge and this need to put Rodgers in the greatest all-time conversation is, I don't even know if he's top 10 all-time, frankly, if you really look at it. I mean, I love his ability. It's filthy. But so was Favre. So Favre's ability was through the roof. Marino, no one's threw the ball better than Dan Marino. I don't love him. So, Aaron Rodgers is in that tier. He's not in Brady's tier. Stop doing that. But I will tell you, if you flip sides, I don't know. I don't know if Brady would have 5 and Rodgers would have 1. I think you'd win multiples with Rodgers. I don't know if you'd win 5. And, well, anyway, this is what we're going to start with. Patriots, your thoughts right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Obviously, the me and Tom stuff is for media fodder, and it's to, obviously get people to tune in. But it's Sunday Night Football. We know there's going to be a ton of people watching, and tough place to play up there. Obviously, they're rolling, and we're, trying to get things going here.
It's Aaron Rodgers on the media fodder of Brady v. Rodgers. That's what it is. And it's good. It's good media fodder. I'll take it. Marquee matchup tonight, Sunday at Gillette. And we have tickets for you. Oh, yeah, I buried the lead. Free tickets for you. 4:30. We'll give them away. 4:30, give you a pair of tickets to see Patriots, Packers, Rodgers, Brady. I don't know how many more of these you're going to get. There's nothing left in the AFC. I mean,
this might be it.
Mahomes, KC, fun team. But in terms of those all-time matchups, You can say you saw Brady play against Peyton Manning. You can say Brady went toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you're going to get another chance to do it against Rodgers.
Well, I was just going to say, but I was talking about Rodgers specifically. If you're talking more generally, there might be, you know, others. But Rodgers, this is probably it.
Yeah, unless it's the Super Bowl, this is going to be it.
Or Brees. I mean, I think they have another 2 years till they play Drew Brees again. And I'm sorry, for some reason, Brees doesn't have quite the cachet of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, because he's an indoor fraud.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. But, like, I don't know how many more of these you're going to get. I don't know how many more of these you're going to get. We're true, you know, quarterback duels, great on great, and free tickets for you at 4:30. So stay tuned for that. Take your phones. Andrew and Haverhill, lead us off. Jimmy's up.
Yeah, you guys kind of already hit on it a little bit, but Aaron Rodgers to me is the greatest thrower of the football I've ever seen. I mean, I remember a play he had against the Bears that didn't count, where he rolled up to his right, got hit at his legs, and then threw it 60 yards across his body to the left side of the end zone for a touchdown. He's the greatest thrower of the football I've ever seen, but there are a lot of different other intangibles like you guys were talking about that goes into a quarterback. Brady's the better leader. Brady has more of a hold on his team. He's better at the line of scrimmage, and I think both things are mutually exclusive, and that's why I think there's a separation. I don't think most fans get that. There's a lot of different things that go into being an unbelievable quarterback than just arm talent and physical talent, and I think that's, you know, it's never more of an example than Brady versus Rodgers.
I think you're 100% right that Brady separates from Rodgers and everybody else with those intangibles: leadership, work ethic, drive, competitiveness, coachability. He's put up with this guy for 18, 19 years. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers would have. So when we have that conversation, what if Aaron Rodgers was drafted into this program? You would have had success. Would he have made it 18, 19 years? I mean, Brady's finally had enough. Like, it's clear. Like, finally Brady's pushing back, but it took him 18 years to do it. So I think those are the things that set Brady apart, that competitiveness and the drive and the focus and the work ethic. No one's worked harder than that guy. And I wonder if that's changing a little bit now, too, in these last couple of years. And I don't like it, but I definitely think that's where you draw the line between those guys.
I mean, it is. It's, you know, when you put it in those terms, I didn't even think of that. Like, how many guys would have stuck around?
Would Roethlisberger have been able to handle Bill Belichick for 18 years?
No, what are you, high?
No freaking way.
No shot. No shot. There's no way he ever would have done it.
It takes a special guy to take that kind of coaching for that long.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good way to put it. And I don't know if Rodgers would have done it or not. The fact that they've been together this long, we've said this before, is a miracle. I mean, it's a miracle that they've been able to stay together that long.
You don't want to give credit to the Patriots for the Butler pick? Tim and Hopkinton. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just heard you guys chiming in about the Seahawks Super Bowl, and I've got to agree with Maz. That was luck. You know, with, you know, Pete deciding to go with the throw to the run. And then, honestly, I look at the whole game. That was so much luck. That last drive by the Seahawks to get down to the 5, and then, like, Butler not making that play all season long and accidentally getting on the field when he's not supposed to, and then being in the right position at the right time, that's 100% luck.
He went field, wasn't supposed to. Didn't they call nickel three corners?
They did. They called three corners.
So I think that was intentional.
Yeah, no, that he's wrong about that part. And the other thing is, it wasn't totally luck. Right. I mean, it was luck that Seattle threw the ball. But again, we saw the video of the practice play that they ran where that Butler didn't execute it.
I also give Bill credit for the way he handled the clock there. You know, a lot of people second guess, you should have called a timeout there. Did he freeze or did he sniff out Pete? You know, did he look across the field and say, they didn't know what they're doing here, so I'm just going to let this roll? I give him credit for it because I think Bill's typically in command of those situations. And so Tom Brady has benefited from a coach and a coaching staff that is in command of those situations and come up with those plays. Rodgers has never had that benefit. Mike McCarthy hasn't snuffed out a thing on defense since he was 2 years old, and never, since never, ever. He's buried in the play sheet trying to come up with the drive starter on the next play. If that were Mike McCarthy in the Super Bowl, not only would he not have been watching the other sideline, not only would he not have been calling for, you know, nickel three corners, not only would he have been drawing back to the film work, he'd have his head buried in the play sheet trying to think of the first down play on the next drive. And he would have no idea what's going on. So that factors. You know, Brady's had that. And Rodgers, and none of these guys, Manning didn't have it. You can say this about a lot of these guys. Peyton Manning never had that.
I mean, I'll tell you, athletically, though, as he talks about Rodgers, the only guy to me that you could say athletically now, pure ability, not resume, pure ability is Elway. I mean, Elway was bigger, more, you know, stronger than Rodgers. But in terms of mobility, arm strength, accuracy, all of it, those two guys probably at the top of the list.
Jack and Canton. Hi, Jack. Hello, Jack.
And hello?
Yes, go ahead.
How you doing, Felgi?
Good, Jack.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I apologize. I'll say one thing with Matt says. I agree with him. Roethlisberger is very underrated. But I'll say this. You just made a comment about Elway and stuff. I think Favre was in the same category as them.
I was just going to say, if you're just going by arm strength, mobility, size, and things like that, Favre's in that conversation.
Yeah, too. He is, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I can name more guys like that than I can the special guys like Brady and Montana, who had that other thing that I'd take over physical ability. I'd take Brady's thing over physical ability. Screw physical ability. I mean, it's nice to have it, I guess. There's a lot of guys that do. But if you don't have that other thing, forget about it.
So I think Rodgers and Elway are smarter than Favre, though.
No question.
I mean, when I say smarter, I mean football smarts. Like, to me, they had the capacity on the field to do some of the stuff that Brady did. Favre was a dope.
Again, Patriots fans, when we called it lucky that Pete didn't hand off there, you howled and said the Patriots had that sniffed out. Now you're telling me that was luck? Jay in Providence, you're telling me that was luck?
No, I think that Belichick finally admitted how he feels about the Malcolm Butler situation in the Super Bowl. And that's because he let Josh Gordon, I think that he definitely came to practice late and they didn't give him a punishment. And that's because Bill Belichick realized he's going to need him in a big spot in a big game down the road. And he can't mess this one up like he did with Malcolm Butler. He needs his best players.
Okay, so there's this whole side topic. He is saying that the reason they let Josh Gordon off the hook last week for being late, they started him despite him showing up late to some stuff, is because Bill has learned from his mistakes on the Malcolm Butler thing in the Super Bowl, and he's not going to do that again.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I don't buy that either.
Nope, I don't think what Josh Gordon did pissed Bill off as much as what Malcolm Butler did. Nope, I think it's the nature of the infraction. And in fact, if what we think happened with Malcolm Butler is what happened, what Josh Gordon did, much worse. Much worse, in my opinion. What Malcolm Butler did, allegedly from what we know behind the scenes, and we're not telling you because we don't really know for sure, and I don't want to be the first on that one. But if that's what it was, I'd much rather have that thing than Josh Gordon's thing. You know what I mean?
I still think the Butler thing is born mostly out of the contract. I think that's the underlying thing in the whole thing. But that aside,
Then why did he play every snap against the Jaguars? And I don't want to go all the way back into this, but he did. He played every snap against the Jaguars. Every snap.
Yeah, because the anyway.
One thing was a workplace infraction. The other was petty nonsense, if it's to be believed.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to go down that road. But I'll tell you, with Gordon, they don't have a choice now. I mean, they've gone by the trade deadline now, and they don't have a choice.
I think and we'll tie the Gronkowski stuff into it. This is still a weird year, man. This is a weird year. Ordinarily, if they're dialed in the real Patriots, they're not putting up with Josh Gordon and him rolling in, you know, never mind all of his baggage, but then he's rolling in late, and they still start him because they don't want to embarrass him on TV, or they want to stick it to some reporter, or what? Like, what are you doing? Like, it's not a Patriot thing.
How many times have they left guys behind on road trips? Remember Jabril Sheard a couple of years ago when he was here? I think it was the game that they go to play the Niners last minute. He was like posting stuff on Instagram.
Right.
See ya. We'll leave you behind. Josh Gordon, he's apparently late a couple of times, and he plays from the first snap of the game.
And then I love the Cordell Patterson, too. You know, the nonsense dancing into the end zone. And you know,
hawking t-shirts in the locker room.
And, you know, we all say, ooh, Bill's going to give it to him on Monday. You wait. All the ex-players, you know, Troy Brown and Ninkovich, all these guys said, wait till the film session comes on Monday. He's going to get reamed. No, apparently not, because he made t-shirts of it and was selling them from the locker room.
can I get one of those?
Weird year. Weird year for the Patriots, man.
Based on watching him, Belichick on the sideline in a tight blue shirt the other night, I go with the XXL if I like.
Okay. More of this right after Murray's update. Again, Patriots tickets coming in a couple hours, so don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Mass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I personally want Aaron Rodgers to demand a trade from the Green Bay Packers at the end of this season. I want him out. He doesn't deserve, this organization does not deserve Aaron Rodgers. I know you got a new GM. It ain't Ted Thompson anymore. You're President Mark Murphy. This guy, Gutekunst, I think his name is pronounced. I understand you got rid of Ty Montgomery. I don't blame you. He didn't need to be in the locker room. I understand you want to complain about
Clinton Dix.
I get that because, after all, he did miss a lot of tackles. They counted at least 7 against him thus far. He's missed some coverages, some passes, touchdowns, at least 3 he was accountable for. We get all of that. Gave up too much stuff in the middle of the field. We get all of that. Clinton Dix ain't what he was in 2016. Probably because he didn't want to be there any longer because he's sick and tired of this damn organization. You look at the Green Bay Packers. They clearly make the choice with every move they make. We ain't got nothing to worry about. We got Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'm one of those guys who believes you take care of your stars. You take care of your stars, particularly when your stars are the ones that care and put in the work. They ain't just relying on their abilities. They're not just relying on their cachet. They put in the work. They show up. They represent. The number one order of business is to take care of Aaron Rodgers. They don't do it.
Stephen A. yesterday. So this conversation, because we always have it about Brady, because it feels like they're not doing right by Brady. Was surrounding him with what they surrounded him with this year. Feels that way. That they let all those guys go. Amendola, Cooks, Solder, Lewis, let them all go. Don't really replace them except for some draft picks. And there have been times over the years where we've said they haven't really supported Brady. He gives back money at the negotiating table, then they let Wes Welker go. Or he takes less money and they let Deion Branch go and replace him with Doug Gabriel. And like, so we've had this conversation. But if you compare it next to Rodgers, can you make the claim that Tom Brady hasn't been taken care of?
No. Oh, I mean, again, who was it? Perillo yesterday, Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, that said, you know, if you look at it, Rob Gronkowski, James White, Julian Edelman, like, stop right there.
You're even missing the biggest one. Bill Belichick!
Oh, well, so that too.
Bill Belichick! Tom Brady has had Bill Belichick since he walked into the league for 18 years. You don't think that's helped Tom Brady in his career? Whether you think it's Brady first or Belichick first, who's ever won, you know, the chicken or the egg, whoever you have on top, and that's, you know, that's a debate for another time. They've been important for each other. And so how could you ever claim that Brady has not been given the support? Or, on balance, you know, has there been a year or two here, and I think this might be one of them, where they've really said you're on your own, pal? But for the most part, the first half of this dynasty, their defense was boobs out good. Win your games singularly on defense. The second half, for the most part, he's had an elite slot guy to go with a great tight end and other weapons around him and the best coach in the league. You cannot make the claim that Tom Brady has not been supported. Aaron Rodgers? Some of these years and that coach, you can't make the same claim. And so here's my little defense of Aaron Rodgers, because it stems off our conversation with Perillo yesterday, because a lot of people bring it up and they're right to. Rodgers' fourth quarter winning, in terms of fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drives, they keep these stats. And I looked at it today. It's a really fascinating list, I think. Here is a list. Vinny, I'll start with fourth quarter comebacks. The all-time list of fourth quarter comebacks by quarterbacks. Number one of all time is Peyton Manning with 43. Tom Brady is number two with 35. Then the rest of the list goes Unitas, Marino 4, Breeze and Elway tied for 5, Roethlisberger in 7th, Fran Tarkenton in 8th, Testaverde in 9th, Brett Favre in 10th with 28. Let me just say, that is a list with some integrity right there. That's a great list. Because every one of those guys, I'll take any one of those guys with the exception maybe of Testaverde. Fourth quarter comebacks all time, the top 10 guys are Manning, Brady, Unitas, Marino, Breeze, Elway, Roethlisberger, Tarkenton, Testaverde, Favre. You know where Aaron Rodgers ranks in fourth quarter comebacks all time?
30th.
84th.
Holy crap. That far down?
He ranks 84th with 13. Tied with Ken O'Brien, Ryan Tannehill, Roger Staubach and Steve Young.
Wow.
Steve Berline and Steve Grogan. Aaron Rodgers has as many fourth quarter comebacks all time as Steve Grogan.
And Staubach had a reputation of being a guy who won late.
One of the great all-time winners in the league.
He had a relatively short career, though, but keep going.
Okay, and so that's another thing you have to consider with Rodgers. Rodgers didn't start playing till 08. Tom Brady has 8 years on him. So this is a volume stat. It's not, you know,
right,
per year.
It's not percentage or efficiency.
It's not
right.
per year. So it's total. And Aaron Rodgers sat on the bench for 3 years and was drafted 8 years after Brady. So you got to factor some of that in, too. But here's another one. Game-winning drive leaders all time. Game-winning drives. Peyton Manning, number one, 54. And then I'll give you the rest of the top 10. Manning, Marino, Breeze, Brady's fourth, Favre's fifth, Elway's sixth, Roethlisberger, Unitas, tied for seventh. And I think I stopped there.
That's another good list.
A list with a lot of integrity.
Yeah,
right
there. There are no phonies on that
There's
list.
There's no phonies on that list. Great, great list. Aaron Rodgers in game-winning drives all-time ranks 57th with 19. Manning at 54. Rodgers has 19. He's tied with Trent Green, Bob Greasy, Jim Harbaugh, Tommy Kramer, Dan Pastorini, Norm Snead, who I don't know. Okay, so this is held against Rodgers, and I can see why. I'm here to tell you it's super unfair. It's super unfair. And believe me, if it were fair, I would tell you. This is not my Packer bias coming through, because I will tell you right now that Brett Favre, in terms of being a fourth quarter winner, is one of the great frauds and overrated players of all time. I've watched every Packer game with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and when Brett Favre had the ball in his hands at the end of the game, I said to myself, how are you going to screw this one up, pal? What are you going to do now? And I never felt confident with Favre, and he screwed up as many games as he won. Overrated. That's a pure volume stat for a guy who played a million years and won some games and was pretty good, but overrated. Overrated. Rodgers, different. Rodgers' team has screwed him. Do you want some examples? Oh, like, for example, I mean, the big one, of course, is the NFC title game in Seattle.
Just a couple of years ago, yeah.
NFC title game in Seattle. The Packers lead 19-7 when they intercept
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, thank you.
Right. I think for the fourth time.
19-7. They're up 19-7 with 5 minutes left when they intercept Russell Wilson. So they have the ball with 5 minutes left, up 19-7. They go three and out because McCarthy calls three straight runs into the line. They punt away. The defense allows Seattle to come right back down in 1 minute and 35 seconds. Right back down the field and score. Okay, now you're just north of the two-minute warning. You're still up 19 to whatever. Onside kick. They drop it.
Wait, that was Boykin, that backup tight end, wasn't it? Oh, God, never mind. Go ahead.
They drop the onside kick. Seattle then scores in two plays. They actually scored twice because Marshawn Lynch caught a ball down the sideline that was brought back on replay. He scored, so they went back to the line of scrimmage. I think they scored the very next play. So they scored in like two plays, and now in Seattle, they've gone back up. They've gone up 22-19 in Seattle. The hardest place to play in the league. There's a minute and 19 seconds left. Your defense, your coaching staff, your special teams have just absolutely collapsed. Collapsed. Aaron Rodgers gets the ball back with a minute 19 left in the one of the hardest places to play in the league against an all-time defense, the same defense Brady beat 2 weeks later, and gets all this credit for beating an all-time defense. Rodgers got the ball in Seattle, not at a neutral site, drove down the field to tie the game with a field goal. They flip the coin for overtime. Seattle wins. They drive down four plays, five plays, touchdown. Aaron Rodgers never touches the ball.
Right. Wilson and Jermaine Kearse, I think it was.
He never gets credit for a game-winning drive, never gets credit for a fourth-quarter comeback, never gets credit for anything because his defense...
His defense and his coach porked them.
His defense gave up two touchdowns in about 3.5 minutes. The special teams couldn't catch an onside kick, and McCarthy, as usual, his sphincter tightened up, and he ran the ball three times into the line instead of getting one more first down, which wins him the game. And we've seen Belichick a million times in that position have Brady throw because one more first down ends the game. So that's held against Aaron Rodgers? There's another great one. Here's my other one. 2015 divisional playoffs in Arizona. They are in the divisional playoffs with a team and a surrounding cast that has no business being there. He's throwing to guys like Jeff Janis. I can't even remember who the hell was out there. Jeff Janis, I remember because he caught a couple balls here that I'm going to mention. But everyone was hurt. No one was there. They go into the Redskins the weekend before, blow them out, and then go into Seattle. I mean, Arizona, who was a good team that year. They have no business being in this game. They're down 7 points. They have a 4th and 20. Listen to this. Listen to this situation. They're down 7 points. They have no timeouts. It's 4th and 20 at their own 4-yard line. And there's 55 seconds left. Let me just repeat that. 55 seconds, no timeouts, 4th and 20 at their own 4. Rodgers forced overtime from that spot. 4th and 20, 4-yard line, 55 seconds, no timeouts. Threw a couple Hail Marys, tied the game. They flipped the coin in overtime. Arizona wins the toss. First play of overtime, Carson Palmer gets out of the grasp of what should have been a sack, flips it out to the flat to Larry Fitzgerald, who runs 75 yards.
I remember this play.
To the 3-yard line. They go in the next play. Packers lose. He doesn't get credit for a fourth quarter comeback. He doesn't get credit for a game-winning drive. Doesn't get a playoff win. Has another overtime loss. And all he did was tie the game from his own 4 with 55 seconds left on 4th and 20 and never touched the ball again. This has happened over and over and over again to Aaron Rodgers. Trust me when I tell you this. This didn't happen to Favre. Favre just gagged on his own. He'd have a strip sack or throw the ball away or throw a late interception to cost himself games. Aaron Rodgers, when he loses late, especially recently, it's his defense, it's his coach. Trust me, this isn't me being a honk. I'm just telling you what I've seen. Conversely, Brady has that all-time game against Seattle in the Super Bowl just 2 weeks later. Just compare it. You know, Brady has that all-time fourth quarter against Seattle, but still, they're there on the one-yard line. If Pete just hands off, Brady gets credit for nothing. And it's a loss. It's another Super Bowl loss, and he's sitting here today at 4-4 in the Super Bowl. And how does that taste? But Belichick has his defense ready to go. He waits out Pete. Pete panics, and so I think there's some of that going on recently. I just feel like clearing the air on that.
So basically, what happened to Brady in the first Super Bowl against the Giants is what has happened to Rodgers over
very
and
good.
Over
again. And Brady's had those too. Fair point, Maz. Exactly right. Brady brings you back in the fourth quarter in that Giants game, and the next thing you know, there's bad defensive calls. Someone catches a ball off their helmet, and
then Ellis Hobbs. Yeah, then Ellis Hobbs gets Plaxico one-on-one, right? But it's that kind of finish that you're talking about.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. But, anyway, I just felt like doing that. There you go. Long commercial-free segment is next with your calls.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Killed us the last time we played him, so. I mean, he's a great player. He does everything well. He's reads coverage as well. Very, very accurate throwing the ball. Got a great touch down the field. Short intermediate. They get a lot of catch and run plays. A lot of that's because of his great accuracy. Puts the ball right on the receiver and doesn't have to break stride and can get just running with it. Very mobile in the pocket. Extends plays. Really good vision down the field. Uses a cadence well. Is a good situational player. You know, one of the great quarterbacks, you know, in National Football League. No question about it. Does everything good. Didn't play golf. He's a good golfer, too.
Okay, Belichick on Aaron Rodgers. Golf with him once in Pebble. He's got a little thing in his pants for Aaron.
Clearly, huh?
Back to your phones, as promised. Tommy in Connecticut. Go, Tommy.
Hello?
Yes, Tommy, you're on the air.
Oh, hey. Guys, I just want to start off by saying that I have no affiliation with Boston sports, and I used to be a Francesa listener, but he's gotten stale and boring, and I listen to you guys religiously now. You're firm, fair, and funny, so I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you, Thomas. What else you got?
Okay. I think the fourth quarter comeback stat's overrated.
Why?
For example, addressing you directly, Felger, I assume that you watched every game of the Super Bowl run Rodgers did have in 2010?
Yes.
You're aware they led wire to wire every single game.
Okay, I didn't know that exactly, but makes sense.
Okay, so the Atlanta Falcons game, when they went into Atlanta, best game I have ever seen a quarterback play. Now, I'm not arguing that he's better than Brady, but I'm saying 4 straight playoff wins, 3 of them on the road, wire to wire, winning the whole time because of his stellar play. Thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, yeah. I mean, while those comeback lists that I gave you have great integrity, they're all great players, of course that stat's overrated. I mean, of course, because there's variables there. If Malcolm Butler doesn't step in front of the ball, Brady sure doesn't get credit for a comeback win, and that's one of the great fourth quarter performances you'll ever see. So I'm just here to tell you that if you watch it every week, Rodgers has been a victim to that way more than Brady. The bad beat by his defense or coaching or some circumstance.
I'll tell you, the coaching aspect of it, too, when you really examine it, because we had a listener email in that Rodgers actually has more road playoff wins than Brady does, right? So I looked it up. Rodgers is 5-5 in his career on the road. Brady is 3-4. And you know what's really stunning about that more than anything? That Tom Brady has played 37 career playoff games and only 7 of them have been on the road. And you know what that tells you?
Go ahead.
that Belichick doesn't slip up during the regular season, the Patriots don't take their eye off the ball against bad teams.
Yeah, except in 2015. But.
Okay, but the, you know, I'm that's fair, Murray.
Fair point, yeah.
But I'm giving you the aggregate, right? Tom Brady's played 37 career playoff games. 8 of them are Super Bowls, so those are neutral site. Okay, so those are out. Of the remaining 29, 22 of them have been at home.
No, it's insane.
22. 19-3 Brady is at Foxborough in his playoff career. 19-3. And you know what? That's Belichick saying.
That's the program.
Right.
We don't take weeks off. We don't slip up. We beat the teams we should beat because we're focused and dialed in every week.
Right. And that's Belichick also recognizing the road is, at best, a 50-50 proposition in the playoffs. Home, our chances are much better no matter who our quarterback is.
And the fact that he forgot that in 2015 is mind-boggling.
It is. It's stunning, right? He got cocky.
He just leaked that away.
He got cocky. He thought that they were so good that they could win anyway, and they couldn't. 22 of Brady's 29 playoff wins at home.
So I think, I mean, it's absolutely goes back to coaching and a program and a team that is just focused and grinds it out, and that's not the Packers.
No, and by contrast, Rodgers in his career has played 6 home playoff games. 6.
He's been to 3 NFC title games. All 3 have been on the road. He's never had a home conference title game. Brady's been to 8 straight. 6 of them were at home.
I mean, I do think that goes back to coaching. It's hard not to look at coaching on that one.
Brady v. Rodgers. You pumped up for it? Michael Jordan is that great spot. Should get you pumped. We'll play that again after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. And again, free Patriots tickets coming your way. Details right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.